Joe Banner, NFL analyst, will join us here in a moment. He was in Canton over the weekend, so he was there, even though he wasn't being inducted. Terrell Owens was not. T.O. was down in Tennessee. And there were reports out there that the Riders were actually working out Terrell Owens. And,
yeah.
T.O.'s spoken about it, the idea that he wants to keep playing football somewhere, whether it's in the CFL, the Arena League. He knows the NFL's never coming calling. That's not going to happen. And I don't know how it would work with the CFL. And I think he'd probably look pretty old pretty quickly and really rusty, and it would be an ugly scene. But I'd support it anyway because of what we just went through with Manziel. The stats are irrelevant in terms of the hype and the buildup to the game.
Yeah.
And as a wideout, he's never going to have as bad of a performance as Manziel because there's nothing that's comparable. You know, you can't throw. What is the comparison of throwing four picks for a wide receiver in their debut? I don't know what that would be. Five drops.
You know, maybe more than that. You're right. It's a disastrous debut for sure. But you're right. Like, this is a league where they can't be choosy. I mean, when you're talking about big names, this is what the CFL's lacked. And for, you know, the casual fan that they're trying to draw to stadiums where, you know, attendance is down in a lot of places, you can't look at Terrell Owens. Look at him. He's in great shape. Apparently, he's running a 40-yard dash in the 4.4 range, even at age 44. He'd probably be terrible. There's no doubt. How many 44-year-old guys can go out there in anything but a beer league and do well? On the other hand, why wouldn't you try?
Why not give him a shot?
Yeah.
You can always just cut him, right?
Exactly.
If it doesn't work out, you can just cut him. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, he'd probably pull the shoot. He'd probably be like, it's not working out for me. I want to get back home, whatever. But I don't think it's about the speed. I don't think it would necessarily be about his hands, although you always hear that from older guys, that it's actually the hands, the hand eye that kind of goes first.
Oh, yeah.
So that probably would factor in. Can he actually pull in footballs the way that he did throughout his career? But I think it's more about, is he willing to get hit? You know, like, that's the big question. At 44 years old, great, you can run a 4.5 40 or whatever, but are you willing to get laid out coming across the middle to make a play? And you can't really know that until you actually get in the game. And with the CFL, they don't practice in pads anymore. They're not going to just line them up and lay them out just to try to prove something. You'd have to sign them and see it before you could really know.
Well, you'd hate to see him laid out going across the middle in his first game, as clearly a guy who doesn't belong there is getting, you know, tossed back into 1991 by somebody who's happy to see him as a target.
Oh, and he would be targeted.
He would be a huge target.
Absolutely. Here's longtime NFL executive, current NFL analyst. He was in Canton, I believe, over the weekend. Back on Overdrive, here is Joe Banner. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you guys. And I was in Canton. Special place.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of that Terrell Owens story, the fact that he decided not to show up and do it his own way? How do you feel about the blowback from that story?
You know, I think it's unfortunate. I mean, I think he's fought for more respect through his career, and he was finally on a stage where, I mean, the adulation and the thrill and the joy and the emotion these guys feel, having been there and close to Brian Dawkins and having seen it in the past, you know, I just think he missed a chance to have a really, really special time. You know, I certainly agree he can do what he wants, but just having been there this weekend and talked to people in the past who have been inducted, it's just such a special moment, and to share it with your family and your friends, the people that got you there. You know, I think he doesn't know what he doesn't know. So since he doesn't know what it felt like, he maybe underestimated just how special it could be.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Joe, but did you hear what Terrell Owens had to say in his speech in Tennessee, where he basically made the point that he didn't go to the Hall of Fame because he felt it was arbitrary and against the spirit of the Hall of Fame, that he was denied access or denied entry, induction into the Hall of Fame for a couple of years, when clearly he belongs there as one of the greatest receivers in the history of the game?
So, you know, you can spend your whole life fighting to be right. And one could argue he is in this case or he isn't. I think there's a valid case to be made on both sides. And by that, I just mean that it didn't happen in year one versus he got inducted. Or at some point, you can just start to take some joy in what you've achieved and people that want to acknowledge you and moments that are just so few people. I mean, there's only 300 people in the Hall of Fame and him playing football for a very long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, at some point, there's value in being right, but at other points, there's value in just kind of st- stepping back and enjoying the moment and having a very, very special opportunity.
With Joe Banner, longtime NFL executive, and now the backlash for him not showing up, even though I believe he's the only guy who's living that decided not to show up, they're thinking, or there's some chatter coming out of the weekend, that they are going to make it mandatory. If you want in the hall, you got to show up for this weekend. That seems like an overreaction to me. How do you feel about it, Joe?
Nah, I'm with you completely. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, that, you know, if somebody thinks there's some reason to reevaluate the way people are elected, you know, there's never anything wrong in my mind with looking at how can you be better or can you be better. But to change the things as they're talking about and make that kind of a rule and make people sign something, I just think that's just ridiculous. I hope that the cooler heads will prevail and nothing like that will happen.
Well, this has always been my problem with the Hall of Fame. It's not only the NFL. It's the same thing. Cooperstown, the NHL Hall of Fame, is, you know, this idea that you're not really a Hall of Famer unless you're actually enshrined, where it just takes, it's actually about what you did during your career. Like, that's what makes you a Hall of Famer. It's what you actually represented when you played. And, like, baseball is the worst for this because of the steroid issue and how people, you know, feel about it. I don't care if Barry Bonds is in Cooperstown or not. He's a Hall of Famer for me, right? Like, there's no question about that. He's one of the great players ever. The same thing with Clemens, same thing with A-Rod in the future. So it always feels so stuffy, and it's so sanctimonious, and all these unwritten rules about you got to play by our rules, and you got to do it this way or the other, and you got to prove to us that you deserve to be in here. I thought the players proved it when they actually played. Like, isn't that when they were supposed to be proving it?
Yeah, it's like everything, though. You know, there's a subjective element to getting inducted. And, you know, in football, I wonder if a group of writers and adding a couple of former Hall of Famers is the best evaluators. And I listen to people in football, which I think is different than the other games, try to make the case for who should be on Hall of Fame purely based on numbers of whatever it is, passes thrown, passes caught, you know, sacks, whatever it is. The game is just so much more complicated than that, and the system should be more sophisticated in terms of electing them. But at the same time, once you're elected, you are in a unique position. You have a chance to create a thrill for yourself, your family, people that believe in you. I think all of us would love to have the opportunity to have that moment. I think it's too bad when you walk away from it.
So, Joe, while you were enjoying the festivities in Canton on the weekend, I guess it was Friday night, the football community was gathered there. There was a lot of eyes in Canada, at least, on Montreal, where Johnny Manziel was making his debut as a Canadian Football League starting quarterback. I'm wondering, you know, I know it gets some coverage on ESPN. How much was the football community, or how much is the football community tuned into what Johnny Football's doing up here in Canada?
You know, I think it's safe to assume they're keeping an eye on it. I don't think they're focused on it. I don't think anybody thinks it's a short-term path for him to get to the NFL, as much because he has to just prove who he is now off the field and can he sustain that over a period of time. But I think anybody that had so many people that believed in him coming out of the draft are going to keep an eye on it with the hope that maybe at some point he can reestablish himself. So I'd be surprised if at this point they're actually sending scouts or anything like that, but I assume they check on it, maybe check the tape, and at some point if he started to show some performances that they thought were strong, maybe send some scouts to watch in person. So I think keeping an eye on it without focusing on it right now would be the best description.
With Joe Banner, longtime NFL executive, there's some rumors out there, some reports out there that Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants could be on the verge of a big contract that would make him the highest paid wideout in the league. I don't think there's any doubt this is a top three or top five talent for me, but, you know, he's been somewhat of a distraction at times. He's had some injury problems. How would you feel about Odell Beckham Jr. being the highest paid wideout?
So he should be the highest paid wideout. I mean, I wouldn't fault any team for the reasons you just cited that said, you know what, he may not represent what we want, or we may decide that the risks or distractions aren't worth the reward. But if you decide that you think he is worth that, there's no question in my mind that, you know, the last contract of the top player is always the highest paid guy, and I think you can make a compelling argument that, as you say, he's certainly in the top three, and the other top two, three, four, five have recently signed. So I can't imagine him not doing a deal in which he doesn't become the highest paid guy in the league. Now, I could see the Giants being concerned with the structure. So if they do develop a situation where maybe he starts to act out more after he gets his money, that the consequences or the leverage they have to, you know, keep them behaving properly are, you know, there in the way the contract is structured. But he's not going to take a deal in which he's not the highest paid wide receiver in the league, and I don't think he should.
You think that's, do you understand why, I mean, the Giants are they playing a dangerous game here, do you think, Joe?
Well, I wish we knew the details, and having been on the other side, there's so many times when the public thinks they know the details that they don't. I mean, you know, I read a report that they'd offer him less than Watkins as a starting offer, and if that's the case, you know, they're going to create bad feelings, and they're going to alienate the player, and in my mind, they're kind of insulting him.
Yeah.
If they're truly committed to getting it done, and again, I have no idea if that report is correct or not. I actually know the reporter and have a decent amount of faith that she's usually very thorough and accurate, but you know, I don't want to say when I don't know for sure. If I was going to go in there, I would start right away and just say, listen, we both know you're going to be the highest paid guy in the league. The only question is by how much and what's the structure, and hope that by setting that tone, we were able to kind of work together on the details and just get something done quickly. So I hope that they're not trying to play a game and wasting and creating a lot of negative energy over trying to save a few bucks in a deal that, whether it's, you know, 17.5 or 19.5, it's going to be within a million or two of easily guessed numbers. Why create a whole bunch of bad feelings about it when you're approaching a $200 million cap in the next probably year or two?
Thank you for doing this, Joe. We always appreciate you taking the time for us.
My pleasure. Happy to be on with you guys anytime.
There's Joe Banner, longtime NFL exec and current NFL analyst.